Well, thank you so much. Today, we know that it's deer season. And we give thanks because they're thinning some of those deer out that you and I might hit with our cars.
Amen.
So we're grateful for our deer hunters. We pray for protection. I used to think it was only the men that hunted, but that's untrue. A lot of women hunt as well. I've had some women tell me that they're not hunting this year, but while their husband's hunting, they're spending the money. They're shopping. So we just want to remember them, pray for them. But also, we always like to recognize those new ones that are in the house. And I'm going to ask Hannah and Josh, where are you guys at? I know you're here somewhere, or I thought you were. There you are. And I want you to welcome Harper Elizabeth Watson. Would you do that? Lord bless you guys. What a blessing. And I have a little one down here. I don't know if that's the first time in church or not, but that's sure sweet. First time? Second time? Well, that is sure sweet. Give them a round of applause. That's wonderful. No better place to be than having your baby at church. We have a little presentation we wanted to make to recognize our veterans because so many people have served. And so I'm going to ask you if you've served in any branch of the armed forces, if you would simply stand and remain standing for just a moment. Please stand, remain standing, men and women alike. Look around the room and you see several dozen that have served from World War II to current times to peace times and war times. Do you give them a round of applause, please? Thank you, men and women. Appreciate your service. God bless you. I hope that you were able to go to Memorial Day events yesterday. I was unable to yesterday for the first time. But I did watch some things on television, the History Channel, and remembered what had been done. Today I'm going to continue our theme in the book of Mark. We're not going to go somewhere else, but we're going to stay there. We'll be in chapter 10, starting in verse 32, going through verse 45. But it goes along with this day, the Veterans Day. And basically, the title of our sermon, after coming out of last week's sermon, if you were here, you know it was The Rich Young Ruler. And Jesus basically said, you need to give these things up. One thing that's possessing you, and that's your possessions, give them up and come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful, but Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And unfortunately, that man walked away. And that left some questions for the disciples, the apostles. And they began to ask these. And they asked really this question as they're walking along. And Peter, being the spokesman of the group, asked the question, well, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And you know, that question is asked often in our day as we go through and we're serving and we say, well, what's in it for me? And that's a part of a self-centered culture that asks that type of question because it's all about us. And this isn't a new attitude. We see it in our text, so it may be underlying in every generation, but it's just ask more now. But I think we need to take time to say thank you to our veterans. We need to say thank you to those who have served. It's never been easy, but it is a great calling and a precious opportunity and a privilege to have served our country. It takes me back in time, and some of you may have heard of Al Capone's lawyer. They called him Easy Eddie. Easy Eddie would do anything to help Capone evade taxes and other issues, and he kept him out of prison for a long, long time. In fact, Easy Eddie is the one who turned on Al Capone, and that's why he ended up spending time in prison and dying. But it wasn't easy, and the decision was very difficult because Easy Eddie knew once he turned on Al Capone that he was going to lose his life. But the reason he did it, he had a son. And he had a son that he wanted to have a different life than him. So he was willing to give up his life that his son might. And two shotgun blasts did end Easy Eddie's life. But his son was able to go to the Naval Academy. And actually he was a World War II pilot. His name was Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot in the South Pacific. And his squadron was on a mission one day, and And as they were flying, he recognized the fact that somebody had not topped off his fuel tank, and he didn't have enough fuel to make the flight to their destination and then return. So he fell out of formation and he started back. And when he did, he saw a squadron of Japanese aircraft that were headed toward the American fleet. And that fleet was now defenseless. So he was in a dilemma. I can't go back and get the rest of the squadron. I'm going to have to do something myself. So what he did, he just put aside all thought and care for himself, and he began dive bombing those, and he began firing his weapons at those, and he shot with those 50 caliber barrels that he had. He actually destroyed five fighter planes for the Japanese, disabled one other, and once he ran out of ammunition, he would dive at them trying to clip a wing and destroy one more. Finally, the Japanese fleet, the aircraft, took off and left him, and he limped back to the carrier. And the Lexington was saved that day by his actions, and Butch O'Hare became the first naval pilot to win the Medal of Honor. Unfortunately, 1 year later, at age 29, he was killed in combat. But he wasn't forgotten. When you fly into Chicago, O'Hare Airport, it's named after our World War II veteran, Butch O'Hare, the son of Eddie O'Hare, who was willing to give his all that his son might have a better life, and his son gave his all that you and I might have freedom. Freedom is a precious thing, and we need to recognize the truth of that. I'm going to ask you to stand. I've got a lot of reading to do today. In fact, I'm going to read even a little bit more than is up there. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in verse 28. And then Peter began to say to him, to Jesus, "See, Jesus, we've left all and followed you." Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Now verse 32. "Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem." Anyway you went to Jerusalem, it was up. "And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed," I want you to get this, "they were afraid." They were afraid. "Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the scribes. They will condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles." In other words, the Jews are going to condemn him, but they've got to go to the Gentiles because the Gentiles, the Romans, have to give the order of execution. It can't be done by them, and we know Pilate gave that order. "And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will arise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, 'Teacher,'" now get this, in the middle of this, "I'm going to be killed." And then they're going to, hey, "Jesus, I got a question, got a favor to ask. We want you to do for us whatever we ask." In other words, "What's in it for me?" "And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us that we may set one on your right hand and the other on your left in glory.'" And what that meant is positions of power and authority, preeminence and prestige. "But Jesus said to them," guys, listen, "you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drank and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drank and will be baptized with the baptism that I, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, the other guys, the other group, they're a little bit miffed. And they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. I'm guessing that was Peter that started that because he always spoke up. "And Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, may you honor the reading of your word. May you just take our lives and allow us to know that you have given all for us. And Father, our responsibility is to give all. And Father, I pray today that we might be, according to your will, servants who would sell out for you. And I pray, Father, that each of us would recognize the sincere calling of being a disciple, which Mark's gospel in chapters 8 through 10 point out more powerfully than any other place in Scripture. So help us, Lord, to know our responsibility and to fulfill it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As you're seated, I want you to think about the text that I have just read. Because Peter does ask that question, what's in it for me? James and John, they asked Jesus to do for them whatever they ask. Lord, here's what we want you to do for us. And Jesus basically responds back with a question, well, what do you want me to do for you? And here's their response. We want to be great. We want to be leaders. We want to have power. We want to be your right-hand men. We want to sit there and make decisions. And Jesus said, you don't understand, guys. If you're going to be the greatest servant of all, what you have to do, the greatest follower of all, the greatest disciple of all, then you have to be the greatest servant of all. And not only being a great servant, but you're going to have to suffer while you are being a servant, because a servant must understand sacrifice and servanthood. So there's three things I want to point out in our text after all of that reading. The first one is in verse number 39. Here it is. And this is, we don't really want to think about this side of discipleship. But I want you to understand, following Jesus puts us on the road to suffering. Verse number 39, let's hear it again. Jesus said to them, they said, we're able. And Jesus said, you will indeed drink the cup that I drank, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. Now, I'm assuming that James and John thought about this position of power and authority in a wholly different way than Jesus did. They looked at this cup as a goblet full of the finest wine. And the baptism they looked at is immersion into fame and glory. And that wasn't what Jesus was talking about at all. Jesus was talking about when you take this cup, that is going to be a cup of suffering. And when you drink that cup, when you follow me and you sell out to me, you're going to suffer. And then the baptism that you're going to be baptized with is a baptism of agony. Now, we know the cup today to be the cup that we take in the Lord's Supper. We take that cup and we remember his blood. We eat that bread and we remember his body that was given for us. But we need to understand it's a cup of suffering and it's a piece of bread of great agony. And when we do the Lord's Supper, we need to be immersed in the concept that he gave all. For heroes, it's always been this way. You see, Jesus never wavered from his destiny. He understood the dangers. He understood what he was going to lose. He understood every single part of that. Now, in our society today, we hear a lot about bullying. You hear it on television. You hear it about in schools. You hear about it in corporations. You hear about it in government. You hear about it any time that one person influences power of another person in a negative way to demean them or to belittle them, to put them down. And we know it goes on. And we know this situation today with all of the people coming out, actors and otherwise, that they have been violated in some way. There's a lot of truth to that. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been silent way too long. And people need to come out and share that something's happened. And we need to be certain that we never cause suffering or pain or shame in any way to anyone. But Jesus said this, if you're going to be a follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're going to suffer. You're going to be bullied. You're going to be maligned. You're going to be mistreated. You're going to be put down. You're going to be shamed. You're going to experience isolation. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be stigmatized. You're going to be criticized. And that's part of following me. James and John had asked, Lord, we want to sit at your right hand and left hand in power and authority. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you, you've got to drink the cup that I'm drinking, and you've got to eat the bread that I'm eating, because it's going to be a suffering and shame, and you're going to be baptized into that. And all the disciples, guess what? James and John, the brothers, they are the first martyr. James died as the very first martyr, and Jesus talked about John, about that baptism of suffering. And if you know anything about the history of the Apostle John, you know he was placed in a boiling cauldron of oil by Nero. He did escape that, but can you imagine the wounds, the shame, and the disfigurement he carried around the rest of his life? He understood what it was to be the first and the last. James beheaded for his faith. That was a bitter cup. And John placed in that boiling water, boiling oil, that was certainly a baptism of suffering. But I want you to understand, Jesus' followers will suffer. You will not always lead a life of leisure. It will always not be easy. In fact, now, in the day in which we live, if you're not aware of it, you should be very aware of it. We have moved from a Christian nation to a non-Christian nation to now an anti-Christian nation. We have seen this massive shift in my entire lifetime, how it's changed. And we're entering in a time right now where Christians are considered dangerous, intolerant, religious nuts. Now, we didn't experience that until the last few years, but I'm telling you, it's worse and worse here in America. And the missionaries have always experienced that, but not us here in our homeland. But now it's coming. Listen, and much of it is already here. But I want you to understand something. When you're treated this way, when you're mistreated, when you're maligned, when you're criticized, even when you're condemned, there's a way to respond. And I want you to get this. It's not with hatred. It's not with saying tit for tat. It's not saying, you did this to me, I'll do this to you. Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and guess what? They'll also persecute you as well. It's easy to rejoice when times are good, but it's not always easy to rejoice when times are bad. And I'm going to tell you, the Christian church in America for a long, long time was well respected, but no more. No more. But I'm asking you as disciples, true disciples, to stand true to the faith. There's a second thing that I want you to see in our text, and it's this. In God's kingdom, the servants are the stars. It's not those who have the lofty position. Look at verse 43 and 44. Jesus said, yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Now, this is so antithetical to what we see today. You may have seen the Hollywood Walk of Fame, where over 2,500 entertainers have received their star, and they're honored, and people see those, and they're revered, and they're being lifted up. But I want you to know the praises have been done. It's over with now, because many of those stars in the Walk of Fame are gone. And everything they live for is gone. You see, the world values greatness in a whole different way. The world values greatness in what a person rises to, in the position of authority or power or influence that they have. But it's totally different for a servant of God. You see, the world values prestige and pomp. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, you be a servant of all. And that's why I love Veterans Day because so many of those veterans, they didn't know what all they were giving, but they were willing to give whatever it took, and thousands upon thousands have throughout our country's history. And we should honor them, and we should honor their memories, and honor their sacrifices. And in the same way in God's kingdom, the servants are those who are willing to give all. You see, in God's kingdom, if you want to be first, you have to be last. And if you try to be first, you will be last. So you always say, you first. The truth is, in verse number 31, it says these words: many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now, that doesn't make any sense in human terms. You say, what does that mean, Brother John? Well, let me just imagine. How many of you ever did a Black Friday? Come on, raise your hand. Let me just be honest. A number of you. Was it fun? No. Why did you get there so early? Somebody say it. To be first, right? To be first. I mean, I'm going to get that big screen TV because it's on sale. Well, just imagine that I announce, I get on the radio, we put it in the paper, that we're going to give away $1,100 bills on a Sunday morning. They would be lined up at the door before I get here. And I get here at 7:30. And guess what? At 10 o'clock, if I walked outside and they were all there at the door, and I went to the very end of the line and started giving away $100 bills to those who came last, what do you think would happen to me? I would be the most hated, vilified man in Fulton County. And I might lose my life over that. But Jesus, in His economy, He said, listen, the last shall be first. Isn't it strange, though, that even though I put that in the paper, and even though I mentioned it on the radio, and even though we advertised that, I never did say the first one would get paid first. That's how grace is. It doesn't matter when you come, it just matters that you come. And God offers that grace, and His grace is sufficient to meet every single need. And grace isn't fair. Was it meant to be fair? We don't deserve the grace of Almighty God that we get. It is a gift. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. Those that are exalted, those that are honored, those that are lifted up, and those that we thought would be that are not. So, listen to me. Freedom from sin is a gift. Freedom in this country is a gift that others have given that you and I might enjoy. So stop asking the question, what's in it for me? And start asking, what can I do for others? How can I make a difference? That's what Jesus is saying here. Thirdly and lastly, I want you to see that Jesus paid the full price to ransom us from bondage. And if you've never been released from bondage, you have no clue how freeing it is. In verse 45, Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. That's what He came for. He came to give His very life for you. And you say, well, does that mean many? Just mean that so many? No, that word many in the Greek language means all. It means every single person that will come, you have the opportunity for freedom. You see, we're born into slavery to sin. We're born into that. In fact, in John's Gospel in chapter 8, verse 34, it said, Jesus answered and said these words, assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. The reason Nicodemus had to be told you must be born again is because we all suffer from a bad birth. Every single one of us need to know what it is to have to experience freedom in Christ because we're born sinners. We're separated from God. And we come into this world kicking and screaming. We go through this world kicking and screaming. And we leave this world kicking and screaming. That is the mantra that we all have. But what we must understand is we have to stop with the mentality, what's in it for me? I want to tell you, from my perspective, that's what's destroying America. Everybody has their hand out, but nobody wants to give a hand up. And it's time that we change that mentality. You say, well, what can I do, John? Change you. Change you. You be the agent of change. Don't kick somebody when they're down. Reach down and help them up. Amen. People typically don't need a handout. They need a hand up. And it's time that we changed our concept. So we need to understand our responsibility is, what can I do for others? Because that was Jesus' mentality. You see, the second thing about this text in that particular passage in verse 45 is this. Jesus paid the ultimate price to set us free. We know that from 1 Peter chapter 1. He said these words in 18 and 19. Knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You weren't redeemed with silver and gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, in other words, the Old Testament and all of these sacrifices, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God, He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. You say, well, so what? So what? Here it is. The so what is this. Jesus gave away His life, and so should we. We should say, Lord, I am all in. I am going to start living for others. It's not about me. That will cure selfishness in our society, make us appreciate veterans and Veterans Day, and make us appreciate those who serve. Listen, that's what God's calling us to do. Be servants. Be servants. I love reading about history. And this story I've maybe shared before, I don't remember, but it's a story that intrigued me the first time that I read it. Cyrus the Great was an evil, powerful man. And he went to war with Cagular, who was not as powerful. He took his Persian army, and they were known for their violence. And he conquered Cagular's kingdom. And he had Cagular and his wife brought to his royal palace. And they stood before them, and Cyrus decided to give them a chance for freedom. So he said to Cagular, he said, what would you do if I decided to spare your life? And Cagular said, I would go home and I would be your servant for the rest of my days. And then he said to him, Cagular, what would you do if I spared the life of your wife? He said, Your Majesty, I would gladly give my life for hers. Cyrus was so moved by that answer that he set them both free and sent them back to be governor over the area that he had just conquered of Cagular's. And when they returned home, Cagular and his wife were talking, and he said to her, did you see the gold in Cyrus' throne? And did you notice the beautiful marble pillars in his court? I've never seen anything like that. Her response was this, I didn't notice any of that. I didn't see any of that. And amazed, Cagular said to her, what? You didn't see that? Well, what did you see? She said, I only saw the one who said he would die for me. Now I want you to understand something. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. We should only have eyes for him. We should say these words, thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me eternal life, for letting me have a relationship with you, God. Thank you. Now listen to me. If you've never experienced that forgiveness and you're not a servant, I'm going to ask you to come and be forgiven. And secondly, I'm going to ask you to be a servant. I'm going to ask you to serve others. I'm going to ask you to give your life away. I'm going to ask you to give your resources away. I'm going to ask you to give yourself away. because that's the only way you really receive. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Maybe you need to come and pray about that today. Maybe you need to come give your life to Christ today. Maybe you're hanging on to everything you have with all the strength that you have. Well, let me tell you something. Death will rip it out of your hands. The only thing that will last is what you have done for others. He started with 4 employees. He ended up with 75,000 employees. Making money, making money, making money. The 70s came, he was leveraged too much and mortgaged too much and lost everything. But in those days he had everything. He gave money away to colleges, gave it to universities, he gave it to schools, he gave it to libraries, he gave it to mission work, he gave it to churches. He did all of these great things, but he lost it all. Several years after he had lost all of his wealth, he was asked this question. Don't you wish you had some of that money back that you gave away? And he gave the most wonderful answer I have ever heard. He said, the only thing I didn't lose is what I gave away. How about it, guys? Would you give it away? Because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Stop asking, what's in it for me? Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would draw people to yourself, that they would die to self and live for you. And I pray, Father, today that people might come and just simply pray and say, Lord, I've been a little selfish, but I'm gonna sell out for you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give my all to you. And Father, I pray that we'd be servants, not asking to be served, but asking, what can I do for others? And I pray your Holy Spirit would just take that truth and pound it into the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls here today. In Jesus' name, amen.